D-May Svingen and Donick 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen here with you live at Party Foul, 2031 Broadway, just down the road from Vanderbilt, where the Commodores will take on the Missouri Tigers tomorrow afternoon. We are pleased to be joined on our phone line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com, by our friend Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow on Outkick. And Chad, let's start with the matchup that we are all anticipating, Missouri at Vanderbilt. I started the show by saying that this is a huge opportunity for Vanderbilt, not just on the field, but off the field as well. College game day is here for the first time in 17 years. There's a lot of buzz about Vanderbilt in the college football world. But I would say to the general slash casual sports fan, the Commodores are a curiosity. But I think if they put on a great performance tomorrow, considering how much attention is going to be on this game, they will graduate from curiosity to Nashville's newest darlings. Do you agree?
Yeah, I totally agree. And I think it's a testament to how good and consistent this team has been this year that so many people just believe, hey, Vandy's going to do to Missouri what they did to LSU a week ago, which is really kind of physically dominate the game. I mean, you look up front what Vandy was able to do to LSU running the ball, outrushed them by almost 200 yards in that game. It was a beatdown. Even though it was a seven-point game, it was a beatdown for Vanderbilt. And I don't know that this game's going to be a beatdown, but I think it's going to feel a lot like the LSU game where you look up and Vandy wins by a touchdown, maybe 4 or 5 points, but it feels like they controlled the game and they got done what they wanted to get done. That's the way I feel about the matchup. For the opportunity on a national stage, it's huge. I was a little surprised that this is going to be an ESPN game and not an ABC game. I thought that it would at least be in that trifecta of games on ESPN and option into that one. But to have College game day there and to have an environment where Nate Bargatze is going to be the celebrity guest picker, I saw Dierks Bentley and Kenny Chesney are both performing. It's going to put Nashville in a spotlight, and associating this city with how hot it is right now with this program and how hot it is right now is only going to help Vandy. And keep in mind, guys, Jared Curtis, who is in some services the number one quarterback in the country, is visiting tomorrow now, which is big news. He's been committed to Georgia for a while, the Nashville Christian product, and he's going to be at this game as an official visitor with Vanderbilt. So, yeah, it's a great time to be a door right now, and they got a huge opportunity tomorrow to really show off all the positive aspects of this program that Clark Lee has built.
Diego Pavia, at the moment on ESPN Bet, has the fourth best odds of winning the Heisman Trophy. He's behind Fernando Mendoza at Indiana, Ty Simpson at Alabama, and Julian Sayin at Ohio State. What more must Pavia do to receive an invite to the Heisman Trophy ceremony later this year?
I think he has to really shine in two of the following three games. Tomorrow against Missouri, at Texas, at Tennessee. If he plays heroically in those games and puts up big numbers, he's going to have a great shot. He will be in New York as a guest of the Heisman Trophy. He would have a great shot of winning the Heisman Trophy if that happens. Because keep in mind, he's really 1 for 2 in spotlight games. He did not play well at all at Alabama, and those turnovers cost Vanderbilt the game. And then he looked great against LSU, and he made some highlight-type plays that we've become – it's expected with Diego Pavia that he's going to face-plant some guy that's rushing him and spin out and find someone wide open down the field. That's what he did in that LSU game. If he has performances like LSU a week ago, tomorrow against Missouri, at Texas, and at Tennessee, even if two of the three are big-time performances, because there's not a lot of greatness going on around him also, guys, I think he's going to have a great shot to win the Heisman Trophy. But, again, it starts this final stretch tomorrow against Missouri. He needs to have a big game and shine with the national spotlight on him.
Now, Chad, what do you think of Missouri? Because, once again, they're going up against a team that it's giving up less than 20 points a game. Last week it was LSU with 11 points a game, and they beat LSU and scored 30 points or 30-plus points to get them. And now you have Missouri, whose defense has only given up 16 points. What do you make of Missouri? Because they run the ball very well. but they don't do as much in the passing game.
Yeah, I was really curious, D-Mace, to see them a week ago at Auburn because that was their first game away from Columbia. And they didn't look great. You know, Auburn's feisty, and they've got a good defense. They don't have a good offense. But Missouri found a way to win in overtime, which is all you're trying to do in the SEC. You know, you're not going to sneeze at any win if it's in overtime or whatever it is, especially on the road. So they got the job done last week. Against Alabama, I was impressed that they sacked Ty Simpson five times. I was really blown away because I haven't watched a ton of them this year. I watched a lot of them against Kansas. I watched a lot of the Alabama game. I didn't see a lot of the Auburn game last week. But what jumps out to me is their athleticism across their defensive front. They got some dudes up front that can get to the quarterback. Can those guys contain Diego Pavia? Can they stay in a rush lane and make Pavia beat Missouri with a more precise throwing game? I think that's always the goal when you go against this Tim Beck offense with Diego Pavia. But Vandy does such a good job offensively of misdirection, of faking the jet sweep, of getting you off balance and playing on your heels, that they sort of dictate what they want to do offensively. So I've been impressed with Missouri. I don't think they're one of the best teams in the SEC. But when you look at that top 8 to 10 group, there's not a lot of separation between any of them. And I throw Missouri right in that mix of the top 8 to 10 in this conference where, you know, it wouldn't shock you if number 10, who I think right now is either Tennessee or Florida, they could beat number 1 at any time, and it wouldn't surprise anybody. That's the way I feel about Missouri.
Now, we know that Missouri runs the ball very effectively. They got three runners that are, you know, per carry averaging over 6 yards per carry or close to 6 yards. I think the last back he averaged 5.9 yards per carry. So they run the ball very effectively. But on the other side, Vandy has given up a lot against the run. You saw what they couldn't do against Alabama. Alabama was able to run the ball very effectively on them. So what can Vandy do to stop Missouri's? Because that's the only way I think Missouri stays in this and makes it a competitive game to the end.
Yeah, and to do what LSU couldn't do and can't do this year, right? I mean, that was the key in Vandy's win last week. LSU can't run the football. So teams that can't run the ball, Vandy's going to have a lot of success against them. And you're right, that's not Missouri. They've run it really well. Again, I would add, you know, their season really started with Alabama. You know, they had so many home games front-loaded. Their toughest game was Kansas, which they had to come back and escape that one at home. So starting with that Alabama game, then going to Auburn last week, that run game hasn't been the same against Alabama and Auburn's defense. I think Vandy, athletically on defense, they got some dudes too. So I think they're going to have a good chance to slow down that Missouri game. I also think this could be a pretty low-scoring game. Mm-hmm. You know, I know it was low scoring on the Plains with Missouri and Auburn last week. I think it was, 31-24 Vandy won against Missouri. I think this game could be played in the upper teens, low 20s with both of these teams. So that's one I'm going to watch. Can Vandy stop the run again against a team that wants to run it and is good at it? Because that's not LSU's strength.
Chad Withrow is with us. Adam, correct me if I'm wrong before I ask Chad this question. Missouri is, like Vanderbilt, a team that has a high level of time of possession, correct?
Missouri is fourth in the nation in time of possession. Vanderbilt is 27th.
Chad, I was shocked to see that. I did not realize that about Missouri. So to your point about what kind of game this is going to be, we know Vanderbilt likes to play a low possession game. They like to eat the clock. You notice that there are plenty of plays where the clock is literally at 1 second. They're ready to snap the ball with 5 or 6 seconds, but they let it go down to 1 because they want to just milk so much of the clock. So I wonder how it goes. You have to make the most of every possession, which is the key to Vanderbilt's success, is they're cashing in with points when they do that, but there's not much margin for error in a lower possession game. But it seems like Missouri wants to play that like that too.
Yeah, both are very comfortable. I mean, you hit the nail on the head, Willie, that they both want to do this, right? They want to drag the game down in the mud. They want to slow it up. They want to keep their offense on the field. Both have good offensive lines. I think Vandy's got a great offensive line. And the way they flip the sides and do all that keeps teams off balance. But, yeah, both teams want to have high time of possession. They want the defense to stay out there, which could certainly lead to a low-scoring game. You know, what I don't think is going to happen to Missouri in this game, let's say Vandy's playing an Ole Miss or a Tennessee that likes to play tempo, that likes to score fast, that likes to get moving up and down the field.
those types of teams, I think, can get quickly frustrated with a team that holds the ball for a long time, and they can start to press. And when you do that, you make mistakes. That's not going to be Missouri in this game, because they want to do exactly what Vanderbilt wants to do. They want to take it down to, you know, 3, 2, or 1 on the play clock and hold on to the ball as long as possible. But it's one of those crazy games where you punt once and you back a team up. Well, if they start marching on a drive, you look up and 9 minutes are off the clock, right? Like, the first quarter's over before you know it. And it really shortens the game when you can do that. So, yeah, I would not be surprised at all if, much like the Auburn-Missouri game this past week, if this is going to be a really low-scoring game tomorrow.
I'm curious your perspective on the pulse of the Tennessee fans here. We know, you know, the nature of the rivalry between Tennessee and Vanderbilt, but also the dynamic of Tennessee would love to get as many quality wins as they can. And so the weight of a win over Vanderbilt in the last week will be that much more if Vanderbilt is still in the picture by then. And, you know, if Vanderbilt lost another couple of games, that would take away from the magnitude of that game. So what do Tennessee fans think as they observe Vanderbilt, Missouri?
They're Vandy fans for this week. I really believe that. I mean, if you're a Tennessee fan, you are all black and gold and not the Missouri black and gold. I'm talking anchor down black and gold this week, because you get a chance at home against Vandy. Right, you don't play Missouri this year. Missouri doesn't have a very difficult schedule after this also. So you really need Missouri to get that second loss against Vandy, because you still have a chance in front of you to take care of business and beat Vandy at home if you're Tennessee. But I'm looking at Tennessee's schedule, and I could very easily see a loss or two ahead of the Vandy game. I mean, what if it's the inverse of a year ago, where it's Vandy walking in with two losses the last game of the season, and they're playing Tennessee with a chance to play spoiler and knock them out of the playoff? And there's a lot of possibilities. That's a long way off.
Yeah, there's a lot of football to be played. No question.
You're talking to Coach Willie right now.
Coach Willie, definitely taking it week to week.
I've seen Peter Burns and everyone like, oh, please, God, let Tennessee Vandy be for a playoff play-in game. Please let that game matter to that extent. And I'm thinking it is over a month away. Who knows what both teams are going to look like by then. But I do see a conceivable scenario where Tennessee's having to play spoiler or trying to play spoiler with them having no chance of the playoff, and Vandy in a win-and-end scenario, much like here in Nashville a year ago where Tennessee came in and Vandy had a chance to play spoiler. But I think Tennessee fans, you know, they're looking at last week, just the temperature, and they're looking at that Bama game, and I think it's just more anger because Tennessee shot themselves in the foot repeatedly. Statistically, and watching that game, I don't think Bama's any better than Tennessee. I think Tennessee got a safety because they tripped over their offensive lineman after an offensive pass interference penalty, and they had a 14-point swing or a 10-point swing at the end of the first half, and that's your ball game. That's really the difference in the game. So I think both Tennessee and Vandy, if you're looking at the similar opponent, look at that Alabama game and probably both kind of feel the same way about their chances against them.
Yeah, Coach Willie's cautionary tale. I think we could all remember 10 or 12 years ago, Dak Prescott and I can't remember the quarterback for Ole Miss, but Ole Miss and Mississippi State were on the cover of Sports Illustrated, like number one and number two, or number two and number three. And 3 or 4 weeks later, they were both, you know, playing in the Citrus Bowl, or the, you know, they were both out of the national title picture, even though it was a great story in late October, right? So we got a lot of the season to be played. Yeah.
Well, I mean, and look, you don't have to go that far back. You know, just looking here in this state, 2022, Tennessee is the number one ranked team in the first college football playoff ranking. They go to Columbia, South Carolina at night as like an 18-point favorite, and they give up 63 points and get absolutely shellacked in a game where Hendon Hooker gets injured, right? Remember, they wore the orange helmets, which have never been seen since. They ditched those orange helmets, gave them to a high school somewhere, and you will never see Tennessee in orange helmets again because of the way they played that night. So things, I say that to say, especially now in this SEC, things can change quickly. Like, there's not a single team on the schedule for any of these teams that you look at and say, oh, that's an easy win. That's not going to be hard at all. I mean, there's a lot of these games that can come down to a coin toss in the fourth quarter.
Chad Withrow.
Okay, I got one more quick one for Chad.
Okay,
I have to ask Chad about the Tony Vitello story. Chad, from where I sit, this is one of the most out of nowhere things, just because what I know about professional baseball and the day-to-day life, the mentality of a pro baseball player, a major league player, as compared to Tony Vitello's style as a college coach, I'm really curious how that is going to play out. So were you as surprised as I was to hear about that?
I was shocked. When the time went on with this thing and they hadn't hired a manager and you stopped hearing Tony Vitello's name, I just thought, well, you know, that's just common sense that a guy who had zero professional experience wouldn't get looked at for that job. And then the news breaks on Saturday that he's the target for the Giants. And I was shocked, Willie. I mean, it's completely unprecedented. It's never happened. We've had college coaches hired that had, you know, 10 years prior bench coach experience for a major league team, or that had a prior relationship with that major league team. We've never had a guy with no experience in the pros get a Major League Baseball managerial position, especially at a place in a franchise like the San Francisco Giants. So I tip my hat to Tony Vitello. I'm honestly surprised it took him that long to take the job. I think it's kind of a no-brainer. I think you sort of need to do it also if you want to trailblaze and open the door maybe for future college coaches to get an opportunity if he goes there and does well, where they can make the move up also. And, you know, the impact Tony Vitello made on that program and on the entire athletic department, it's immeasurable. I mean, he was sending videos, you know, giving pep talks to Little League teams if people ask. He was showing up and reading to elementary schools. His charisma is what sort of wins the day here. And I think it's that charisma that got him this unprecedented opportunity to go straight from college to Major League Baseball. But like you, Willie, I'm stunned. I have no clue how it's going to play out in the majors, but I'll tell you this, it's not going to be boring. That's
nope.
For sure. They are going to be very different. I could see them having a totally different personality and mindset from every other major league team. So this thing could crash and burn in a year or two, or they could be the most exciting team in all of baseball.
Chad Withrow has been our guest on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow. He joins us every Friday afternoon. Chad, great stuff as always. We'll catch up next week.
It's a big weekend, boys. Excited for it. Thanks for having me on. We'll talk next week.
Always Absolutely. A pleasure to chat with Chad Withrow. 615-737-1025. I want to sneak in a quick Predators thought here after the Predators won last night 2-1 against the Vancouver Canucks, because I have a question for a certain section of the Predators fan base. We'll get to that next. 615-737-1025. We are live at Party Foul, 2031 Broadway, just down the road from Vanderbilt's campus. Stop by and register for a pair of 50-yard line seats to the sold-out game tomorrow. You must be present to register. You do not have to be present to win. So at the very least, stop on by 2031 Broadway and sign up to win a pair of tickets to see Missouri take on Vanderbilt tomorrow. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan, 1025 The Game.